ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Happy Australia Day, wherever you are across the country, and welcome to The World Today. It's Monday, the 26th of January. I'm Andy Park, coming to you from Gadigal Land in Sydney. Today, Australia Day celebrations and protests across the nation. And meet the Sparky, named Australia's local hero, who says it's all about finding someone who believes in you.
The belief and mentorship at certain stages of my career in the electrical industry that I didn't think that I had what it took, everywhere from starting on first day through to becoming a project manager. The journey of what I've taken away from him is what I'm passionate about in instilling in Mob and paying that forward.
100s of Australians have been recognised for their enormous contributions to the community as part of this year's Australia Day Honours List. Former politicians, disability advocates, community volunteers and sports people are among those being celebrated today as people around the country gather to mark the National Day. Here's Bridget Fitzgerald.
Australia, ga young, ga ya bun, iora bajari.
Australia's national anthem, performed in Gadigal and English at Barangaroo on the edge of the Sydney harbour. Gumbangia and Walbunja musician Sienna Walker was one of the performers.
It's about coming together, no matter what you're doing, being with community and just enjoying the day. It's a very solemn day, a very emotional day for many. And I think for my mob, I think it's just important to understand that we're still here.
Australia Day events in Sydney began with Woogaloora, a Gadigal ceremony held in the spirit of unity to signify that while today is a celebration for many, it's also a day of mourning for First Nations people. In Canberra, the National Citizenship and Flag-Raising Ceremony was held this morning on the banks of Lake Burley Griffin, led by Australia's Federation Guard and the Band of the Royal Military College, Duntroon. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says January 26 is a day to celebrate everything that brings Australians together.
A country that has been enriched by people from every background and every faith, from right across the globe, all enjoying the privilege of sharing this continent with the oldest continuous culture on earth. It is a proud story, but it's one that we continue to write.
Across the country, almost 1,000 people have been recognised on the Australia Day Honours List. Trailblazing astronaut and space engineer Catherine Bennell Pegg is the 2026 Australian of the Year.
I'm incredibly grateful to have the platform to further the conversation about space and what it can do for Australia.
She graduated from the European Space Agency astronaut program in 2024. She says Australia has incredible capacity to contribute to space research, including in field robotics, drought-tolerant crops, and more.
We've got sensors that help us on Earth look for lithium deposits that help us in the energy transition, that we've helped to adapt to go to the moon to see what's underneath, because if we understand the moon better, we'll understand the geological inputs into Earth's climate better. And the list goes on.
Endurance runner Ned Brockman was named Young Australian of the Year for his advocacy in fighting homelessness. He paid tribute to his parents and sister who were there to see him receive his award.
Grateful to share it with them because they're the reason I'm here in this way. They gave me the opportunities that led me to this point. You know, I was fortunate enough to be loved as a kid. I was shown the ropes, told no. I was, you know, given endless opportunities, and so many people don't have that in this country. And that's what I'm trying to show people is, you know, more people are in that scenario than we think. More people don't have the people to rely on, don't have the people to fall back on if times are tough. And that's why we're seeing so many homeless people in this country. I know it's been a case for a while, but we absolutely need to make a dent in it because there's way too many people living rough.
Also recognised for their work in homelessness were the founders of Melbourne social enterprise and streetwear brand Homie. Nicholas Pierce and Marcus Crook each received the Medal of the Order of Australia for their service to the community through the not-for-profit sector. All profits from Homie go to young people experiencing hardship. Nicholas Pierce says they wanted to address some of the misconceptions around homelessness.
Once we started to ask questions and speak to people who were living rough, we just realised the stigma was so unwarranted and ill-informed and wanted to try and challenge that. So we started to advocate, and that led us down this pathway to, yeah, a clothing brand and working with young people.
Celebrations continue today right around the country, including the Australia Day live concert and light show at Sydney's Circular Quay this evening.
Bridget Fitzgerald there. Well, an Indigenous electrician from WA has been named this Australia Day as Australia's local hero. He's not just any Sparky, though. As a young single father, Wadjuk Yuwig Noongar man Frank Mitchell's electrical apprenticeship really did change the course of his life. When he became a business owner, he pledged to create the same opportunities for others and now employs 200 full-time staff. Frank Mitchell, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Andy.
What is the importance of self-determination for young Indigenous Australians like you to sort of get a leg up in life and in a career?
Incredibly important. You know, emotional sense of well-being, the journey that I've been on and where I was to where I am now, and the outcomes that I have been involved in with my teams in generating the over 70 Aboriginal upskilling outcomes. The leaders who have come out of that are inspiring others, and the self-determination that mob are seeing and going, once upon a time I didn't think I could do that. But because my dad's gone on and become a carpenter, his kids are now looking up at him as a leader within the family and giving them hope that they can also achieve greatness.
You speak about the importance of belief, you know, someone backing you in. You had a mentor. Who was that?
Uncle Russell, and he is absolutely at the core of what I feel is what bred self-determination in me, the belief and mentorship at certain stages of my career in the electrical industry that I didn't think that I had what it took, everywhere from starting on first day through to becoming a project manager, to even buy in to the business he was selling. The journey of what I've taken away from him is what I'm passionate about in instilling in mob and paying that forward.
How did your son react to the news today?
He hasn't even, I haven't checked every message that's come in because I pretty much had my phone on silent airplane mode, but he is 1.5 years into his electrical apprenticeship working away on a FIFO role on one of the jobs that we have won for FMG. So I believe the reason is he's probably still doing 12 hours in the heat and not even really checking the news channels.
He's doing the hard work. And so if you were to get the opportunity to talk to that young man who successfully got that apprenticeship to be a Sparky, what would you tell him about what you've learned since?
Spend as much time with my old people. They hold so much knowledge, and if we're not around to listen to them and be able to be the next gen to pass on their wisdom, too many old people are dying with just incredible vast amounts of knowledge that I feel is something that is a big part of what I'm recognising off the back of this accolade, the responsibility of being an advocate and what I am wanting to achieve. I feel my work is just beginning.
Frank Mitchell, Australia's local hero. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to The World Today on ABC Radio across Australia and on the Listen app. Subscribe to the podcast for all our stories. Just search for The World Today. Well, for some First Nations Australians, January 26 is Invasion or Survival Day, marking the beginning of Australia's colonisation and the violence and dispossession that followed. Rallies and marches are being held to mark the occasion, including in Sydney. Our reporter Tanya Dendrinos joins me now from Hyde Park in Sydney. Tanya, what are you seeing there?
Andy, there's been a huge turnout here in Sydney. We saw a smoking ceremony earlier. People encircled the fountain here at Hyde Park. There were multiple speakers addressing the crowd ahead of the march. Rallies, vigils and festivals are being held right across the country today, and not just in capital cities either. Events are also being held in regional centres. Some took place at dawn and others are going to span right into this evening. In terms of this event, exemptions were granted by New South Wales Police allowing today's march to go ahead in Sydney amid the extension of the public assembly restrictions that were introduced in the wake of the Bondi terror attack. Now, organisers of this event described that as a significant victory. That's what they said in their words, saying that they refused to back down from their original plans.
And what have people been talking about? What's been the message that's being shared there?
This event's been organised by the Black Caucus. That's a First Nations-led organisation. There's been a focus on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander deaths in custody. There have been calls for government action. There's also been a notion of celebrating the rich First Nations history that Australia has to offer. There are Aboriginal flags flying. There have also been people carrying Palestinian flags among the crowd too. The turnout really is large, and from a wide cross-section of the community, we've seen young and old gathered here today, and from a diverse range of cultural backgrounds as well, not just First Nations people. Many people have told me they're here to stand in solidarity with First Nations Australians, and here are the thoughts of some of the people I spoke to.
I just fundamentally against celebrating the 26th of January as Australia Day when it's brought so much harm and pain to the Indigenous people.
It's just not a day to celebrate. I understand the idea of wanting to be a proud Australian, and if we want to celebrate our country and all the good that comes with it, it shouldn't be on a day that thousands and millions lost their lives.
I mean, it's lovely. I'm from Perth. I can't actually imagine so many people in Perth coming out, so it's really nice being in Sydney.
Oh my God, it fills me with hope when I see all of the terrible things that are happening in the world and how divisive so much of politics is. It's nice to see people coming together for such an important cause and in such a gentle, peaceful way.
Some of the attendees at the rally in Sydney this morning, Tanya Dendrinos reporting there. Meanwhile, anti-immigration rallies are being held across the country as well. Melbourne is expected to record one of the biggest demonstrations. Oliver Gordon is at Flinders Street Station in Melbourne's CBD. Ollie, what can you see?
Hi, Andy. So, yeah, the centre of Melbourne, the Flinders Street steps, has become really a sea of blue. We can see dozens, if not at least 100, very large Australian flags blowing in the wind. We can also see flags with boxing kangaroos on them. There's some posters of some high-profile politicians depicted in quite unflattering ways. And then there's a life-size cutout of One Nation's Pauline Hanson, not suggesting that she's, connected with this protest in any way, but there is a life-size cutout of her here, and lots of people wearing lots of flags, and often those flags draped around their shoulders, Andy.
What is the March for Australia?
So, March for Australia rallies are being held in capital cities and regional centres across Australia today to coincide with, of course, January 26, Australia Day. It's the third round of rallies under this March for Australia banner. Events were held in August and October last year, and they attracted thousands of people who are calling for an end to so-called mass immigration. The ABC has actually established links between some rally organisers and far-right groups, leaders of the neo-Nazi group, the National Socialist Network, including Thomas Sewell, actually spoke at previous rallies in Sydney and Melbourne. Of course, that group, the National Socialist Network, saying it's disbanded in response to the recent hate speech legislation. So not expecting to see many people openly identifying with that network today. But we are expecting to see a number of speakers here at the Melbourne event. We've got Hugo Lennon, who's a far-right anti-immigration influencer, who's previously promoted extreme right and actually racist materials online. And also Warren Pickering, who's the One Nation Victorian president. So the March for Australia is an event that does have these links to extremism. The ABC has reported on those links before, but here's what some of the attendees here have told me.
What do you think of Australia Day?
I think it's the greatest day of the year.
Why?
Because it's to celebrate Australia. The Invasion Day divides Australia. Australia Day unites Australia. So we want to be on the right side, not the wrong side.
So this is about coming together? This is why you're attending this rally?
Yes. Well, our family consists of Aboriginal, Irish, Spanish, and we're all one family. So why can't we all be one country?
There has been reporting about links to some extremist organisations. What do you make of that when it comes to these March for Australia events?
There's going to be extremists on both sides. There's always going to be extremists no matter where you go.
You've got the Australian flag draped around your shoulders there. Why have you decided to don that flag today?
Because it's my country. So I've got to represent my country. So everyone's got Aboriginal flags. That's their right. They can wear what they want. So that's what we choose to wear.
Those are some of the attendees at the rally in Melbourne. Oliver Gordon reporting there. Well, it wouldn't be Australia Day without a record-breaking heatwave bringing sweltering temperatures to large parts of the country. Adelaide is forecast to feel its hottest Australia Day on record. And the mercury in Victoria is also rising as authorities continue to battle bushfires. Meanwhile, Western Australia's Kimberley region is assessing their damage after ex-tropical cyclone Luana made landfall over the weekend. Kimberley Price reports.
Cicadas chirp in the sweltering heat in southwest Victoria as a bushfire rages nearby. The blaze at Carlisle River came within a kilometre of the town of Gellibrand. Cherry Smith runs the Gellibrand River General Store.
It's, hard to believe that this is all happening in our little town. But at the same time, you know, it's always in the back of our minds, living in a beautiful place like this, with this bushland around us.
She's kept the store open for locals to help them prepare ahead of the heatwave's peak.
Well, we sort of, you know, have a few hats. We've got our own farm, which is about probably 6 km from where the fires are now. So we've put a lot of preparation in place to move our stock to safe stables inside sheds with sprinklers and things.
Multiple fires continue to burn across the state, with temperatures in the region expected to near 50 degrees on Tuesday. Jason Heffernan is the state's Country Fire Authority Chief Executive.
So the situation of the Carlisle River fire, which is that fire in the Otways, it's not contained and will not be contained before tomorrow's weather comes in. As we know, those northerly winds and those really hot temperatures, and temperatures across the Carlisle River fire are probably expected to be around 44 degrees in that range. So conditions will be very challenging.
Scorching conditions are expected across the country this week. Adelaide is forecast to hit 45 degrees today. The city's Australia Day event has been cancelled. A heatwave warning is in place for the entire state, with parts of Western SA expected to reach 48 degrees. Corey Littler is the state duty officer for the SES.
And what we see as we continue on to with these longer heat waves is that the cumulative effect that does come over these periods tends to exacerbate the issue as we go further and further. So we'll start to see an increase in trees dropping limbs due to the heat stress.
He's urging people to check on those who may be struggling to keep cool.
All members of the community can be impacted by these conditions, but the vulnerable can be at an increased risk. So it is important that we are checking on friends, family, neighbours, etc. That may be at increased vulnerability at this time, because that risk does increase exponentially.
Meanwhile, Queensland's southeast is predicted to be up to 8 degrees above the January average today. On the west coast, heavy rain is falling in northern WA as ex-tropical cyclone Luana slowly moves south after making landfall on Saturday as a Category 2 system. Nathan McIver lives in the Juttigin community on the Dampier Peninsula, 200 kilometres north of Broome. He says the community is still recovering after Cyclone Hayley made landfall last month.
So it's still windy at the moment. It has been raining all night. We had some damage around the community, but nothing major. I mean, I think Hayley did most of the damage. I lost a satellite dish off my roof, and there's some flashings and a couple of roofs of sheets of iron that have come off some houses. But other than that, no structural damage. Communities south of Juttigin, there was one community down near Beagle Bay that was completely flattened. There was a place called Mercedes Cove. That house was completely flattened.
Nathan McIver says communities can become completely isolated after these events.
Flooding towards Broome and being able to get into Broome, like roads will be underwater. So we've just got to be careful. with constant rain, the floodways, they fill up. So sometimes they can be closed for a couple of days.
Dags Cross lives in Derby, which also felt the rains and winds of ex-tropical cyclone Luana.
It was a bit of a shock, a bit of a surprise, but a pleasant surprise, I suppose, because we obviously only have wet season where all our rain comes from. Dry season, it's moderately dry. We keep it pretty simple up here in the Kimberley. So as of this morning, I think I've counted up about 280 mils worth of rain, I suppose, since Saturday morning. So it's a good little splash and certainly given everything a good drink.
Derby resident Dags Cross there, ending that report by Kimberley Price and Angus Randall. Overseas now, and vigils have been held across the United States after a second US citizen was killed whilst protesting ICE raids. Intensive care nurse Alex Pretty was shot by federal immigration agents who claim Mr. Pretty was armed and that he was shot in self-defence. But the state's Democrat governor says video of the incident tells a very different story. Kathleen O'Connor.
Shut it down!
Shut it down! Shut it down!
On the frozen streets of Minneapolis, outrage builds over the death of US citizen Alex Pretty, shot by federal ICE agents at the weekend. US veteran Doe says he watched the disturbing scene unfold.
I did see what happened. And as a United States military veteran, trained in detainee operations, I can tell you from my perspective, the man, Alex, was not resisting. What I saw disgusted me. It made me feel sick to my stomach. And last night, before I went to bed, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Federal agents claim the intensive care nurse was brandishing a gun and they shot him in self-defence. But videos from the scene do not support this account. Gregory Bovino is the Customs and Border Patrol commander.
Our Title 8 immigration mission continues unabated here in Minneapolis, despite yesterday's tragedy that was preventable by folks making better choices.
Many witnesses say Alex Pretty was holding a phone, not a gun. A federal investigation into his death is underway, but state and local officials say they've been blocked. Doran Clark is state senator in Minnesota.
The story that the narrative that Donald Trump's administration tried to spin was wrong. It was a lie. The video is clear. He was shot in the back. It appears that the gun that he had been removed, and it is clear that Alex Pretty was trying to help a woman who was being attacked.
Less than 3 weeks ago, American citizen Renee Good was shot dead by an immigration agent in Minneapolis. Doran Clark says the community is reeling.
For me and for so many Minnesotans, it's and all Americans, it's just this astounding. This is happening here. This is happening again. But it is, and here we are, and you know, Minnesotans are saying no and standing up and being loud and being proud and saying, not in Minnesota. ICE, get out of Minnesota.
Nick Ackerman is an attorney in New York City and a former Watergate prosecutor.
It's an absolute disgrace. I mean, there is no reason whatsoever for them to do what they are doing under these circumstances. They're basically terrorizing the entire city. And what this appears to be is nothing more than a retribution campaign by Trump against the governor and the mayor and other Democratic officials in the state of Minnesota.
While Democrats continue to express their anger at ICE's actions in Minnesota, there are signs this latest incident could fall foul on some of President Donald Trump's supporters. Minnesota Senator Doran Clark again.
Everybody has in the United States, whether we like it or not, the Second Amendment right to carry a gun. And this has been something that Republicans have said for so long. You have a Second Amendment right. You have a Second Amendment right. You have a Second Amendment right to carry a gun. And now suddenly the Trump administration is saying, you have a gun, we can shoot you.
While demonstrations continue in Minnesota, Alex Pretty's death is also being mourned. Nurses held a candlelight vigil for the latest victim of the immigration crackdown, holding signs reading, "Justice for Alex." Health worker Heidi Ramden paid tribute.
Alex was an ICU nurse at the VA.
That's one of the toughest jobs in the world, and I'm so grateful to Alex for the care that he provided to his patients, and I'm holding his family in my heart right now, and I'm holding his coworkers in my heart.
Minnesota healthcare worker Heidi Ramden, Kathleen O'Connor reporting. And that's all from the World Today team. Thanks for your company. I'm Andy Park.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley here, host of the ABC News Daily podcast. Elon Musk loved it. His AI tool Grok, which enabled users to edit images of real people and put them online for all to see, even semi-naked. Well, now he's put limits on the tool. But is that the end of the story? Today, Sam Cole, a tech journalist and co-founder of 404 Media, on the Grok scandal. Look for the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.